every episode of this podcast is about true things that have happened at some point or another on this planet. Each episode is different than the next, and they are each centered around stories that are odd, outlandish, or of the occult. This podcast will include foul language. This podcast may also include themes of graphic content such as murder, rape, or gore. Listener's discretion is advised.
Hello. Welcome. This is Seven Circles, a podcast that does not focus on one subject, but seven of them. The thing that ties them all together is weirdness, not normality, strange and unusually bizarre. We are your hosts, Autumn and...
Bizarrely weird, unusually abnormal Dan.
So today we have another true crime episode. This one is pretty gnarly, so here is your one and only warning. If you have a faint heart or unsound brain hole, then this episode is not for you. Go ahead and skip this week if you don't want to hear about multiple serial killers all at once compressed into one single episode.
Compressed like bonsai kitten.
Now I, as a human,
barely,
have become pretty desensitized to almost everything on this planet. I have consumed so much horrible media and information that my brain has definitely just become chill with almost everything now.
Apart from a Serbian film, that was just too much for your weak little mind.
Stop with that. Gosh. I listen to serial killer and true crime podcasts at work every single day. They are usually hour-long stories that go in depth about one person. So listening to other people talk about murderers all day is way different than actually trying to research them yourself. This episode is called Everyone Gets a Trophy because we are talking about serial killers and their trophies.
Apart from the victims, they don't get a trophy.
No, they don't. To do the research for this episode, I had to go down a very deep and dark rabbit hole.
Because that's where we keep our trophies, so nobody finds them.
Imagine researching like 100 murderers all at once. It can be a little much, even for me. Let's just say that after this episode, we will be taking a murder break.
Speak for yourself, man.
I didn't listen to my usual podcast at work today. I had to find a new one that was not about death.
I thought you were cool.
Okay, now that we've built this up a little for you, let's get into it. There are two types of serial killers. The unorganized and the organized. Unorganized killers usually kill at random, and the scene of the crime will reflect that the killer is unorganized as well. Often, crucial evidence will be left behind, such as DNA or fingerprints.
Oh, so some victims do get to keep a trophy, like a butthole full of cum.
You are a vile, vile man. Organized killers are the opposite. They usually take the time to stalk their victim and understand where and when will be the best time to strike. They often do not leave any evidence behind at the scene of the crime, and sometimes these organized killers will take away a trophy. They take the trophy as a reminder of the act, kind of like going to Disneyland and getting a pair of Mickey Mouse ears. It's a souvenir, a reminder of good times past.
Only I personally wouldn't go home and jack off over a pair of Mickey Mouse ears. No, I'd have to get the Minnie Mouse ears. But each to their own, I suppose.
Moving on. Serial killers take both body parts and personal items from their victims. Sometimes one, sometimes the other, sometimes both. We will never do a full episode about Ted Bundy. He is too well known, and honestly, I am sick of hearing about him. But he is the reason that we have the term serial killer in the first place, so of course, we will mention him every once in a while, when it can't be avoided. Ted collected heads. Ted kept his victims' heads around the house, and he would wash their hair, style it, and put makeup on them before skull-fucking them. He would also take Polaroids of the bodies posed in different positions.
Did he rig up an elaborate drainage system from the esophagus of each head, all leading to one outlet? Wait, which end did he fuck? This brings a whole new meaning to the act of throat-fucking, and I'm totally here for this episode.
I don't know the answer to those questions, Daniel, but I'm sure Wikipedia could help you, maybe.
So Wikipedia will definitely tell me which end of the severed head he fucked?
Yes!
Did he ever go side on and take an ear?
I don't care! Moving on!
You are no fun.
Okay, so our trophy list is heads and Polaroids so far. If you don't know what a Polaroid is, let me briefly explain. In the old-timey days, before everything became digital, we had to use these plastic camera things that had this stuff inside called film, and we had to take the film to the store to get it developed once we reached a certain number of pictures on the roll of film. Well, with Polaroid cameras, the picture would just spit out the front of the camera on its own.
Like Ted Bundy's heads would just spit out cum.
You're disgusting and vile, and this episode is rated X now, thank you! So you did not have to take it to the store to get developed, therefore risking the chance of the person developing the film seeing all of your naughty pictures. That's right. Strangers could just look at the film as they were developing it for you.
Oh yeah, from the risk of paper cuts to getting caught delivering them, dick pics were a whole different ballgame back in the day.
Paper cuts?
Yeah, the Polaroid. And your penis.
I don't get it.
The picture comes out the camera.
Uh-huh.
And cuts you on the dick.
Why would you have the camera by your dick?
Because it's a fucking Polaroid camera and you're taking a picture of your
dick. Oh, dick pics. Okay. Gotcha.
Holy fucking shit, man. You are hard work sometimes, dude.
In 1968, Jerome Brudos killed 4 women in Oregon. Jerome was really into shoes, and we are not kink-shaming here. If you love shoes and feet, that's great, good on you. But Jerome took it to the next level by cutting off his victim's feet to use in his favorite stilettos. He would keep feet in his freezer to model in shoes. Can you imagine Jerome having little fashion shows with these severed feet on a makeshift catwalk he made out of cardboard boxes and red felt?
I'm just gonna say, for those who have run the risk of penile degloving by foot job, using them on yourself sounds like a much safer prospect.
Indeed. What?
Come on, I mean, you haven't been there on the receiving end, but I know that you must have given a foot job. I mean, I don't think you have to me, but you just seem like the kind of gal who's given a guy a foot job in her life.
Not to a uncircumcised penis. No, I have not.
Well, that's not really the point, though, is it?
I mean, I thought degloving meant, like, pulling the foreskin off.
Yeah, but when you're circumcised, you still have skin on your dick. It's not like a Hellraiser penis.
But it's, like, tight.
Your mum's tight.
Okay. He also used severed breasts as paperweights. I don't know how that works exactly.
I already made a relatively lame joke about this in our necrophilia episode, and I can't really think of anything better, so carry on.
Okay, so trophy count thus far we got heads, feet, boobs, and Polaroids. Oh, and women's shoes. Jerome kept his victim's shoes as well as bought them outright from the store himself.
Have you ever seen those videos of dudes sticking stiletto heels down their piss hole?
Oh, no! I am clutching my pearls! Jesus Christ, Daniel! I'm so sorry. This episode is so bad. It's so horrible.
Wait, so you're kink-shaming after all now?
No, that just... the visual...
You're just a little pussy.
Charles Albright shot and killed 4 women in 1990 and 91. Charles had an obsession with eyes, so he carefully removed the eyeballs from his victims. Why? What was his fascination? We will probably never know. Despite being convicted on all 4 counts and sentenced to life in prison, Charles denies having killed the women and claims that he's never even touched an eyeball.
Not even his own? Come now! Do you reckon he burned them like incense and inhaled the smoke like in The Crow?
Dude, yes, that's exactly what he did.
I know, those guys were cool, right?
That's some good witchcraft right there. So, if you were a murderer, Daniel, what would your trophies be? Would you even take trophies?
I mean, probably just the whole body. It seems a waste to dispose of it so soon. Otherwise, probably fingers and underwear. Yeah, underwear.
I think Polaroids are a pretty good trophy just because they're easily, you can just light them on fire and get rid of the evidence. Boom, done.
I mean, we literally just covered that you can also light eyeballs on fire. And anything, really. So what makes Polaroids special?
When you burn body parts, it still leaves residue of body DNA stuff.
sexy, sexy residue.
Okay, trophy count so far. We got heads, eyeballs, feet, boobs, Polaroids, and shoes.
Just going for a random order there, huh? Not going head to toe, not going in order of appearance, not going alphabetically. I can tell you'd leave a lot of DNA at the scene.
Jeffrey Dahmer loved trophies. Jeffrey killed 17 men during his 13-year career. He would drug them, strangle them, and then have his way with them. He would save severed heads and have sex with them. Once they started to decay, he would speed up the process by dissolving the flesh in acid, and then he would paint the skull white so it did not look real. Then he would place the skull on his special shelf. He also kept various body parts in the refrigerator. Jeffrey did not want to be alone and thought that if he ate his victims, that they would be with him forever. He also kept balls in a lobster pot.
Ball balls?
Gonads.
Aww.
Testicles.
So am I correct in saying that he painted the skulls white so that he could put them on display and his friends and any visitors to the house wouldn't suspect that they were real?
You are correct, sir.
Research.
Okay, trophy count so far. We got heads, painted skulls, eyeballs, boobs, balls, Polaroids, shoes, and parts for eating.
Nom.
Ed Gein was only thought to actually kill 2 women during his career, but there could have been more. When Ed was arrested, the police found at his house 4 noses, 9 custom-made masks built from human skin, bowls created from human skulls, 10 female heads that were completely scalped.
Oh yeah, he definitely only killed 2 women. Was this dude from Michigan?
Oh yeah, that was from last episode. You keep bringing up last episodes. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make people go and listen to other shit we did, yeah.
Yeah. So one of his victims' heads was just chilling in a paper bag, and another victim's head was in a burlap sack. These 2 were the only heads that were identified, and so these were the only murders he was charged with. Ed said that all the rest of the body parts had been dug up from various cemeteries. He also had skulls perched on each one of his 4 bedposts, human organs in the fridge, a window shade made out of human lips, a belt made from female nipples, and a lampshade constructed from the skin of a human face.
Hold on. All of this seems reasonable, but are nipples really the best body part from which to construct a belt?
I honestly don't know, but it just, the image in my brain is so creepy right now.
You know, like those weird kind of like woven belts that you get out of thin leather strips? I kind of imagined that if you sewed a bunch of nipples together, that's slightly what it might look like.
Maybe, or maybe the nipples were sewed onto a leather belt. Who knows?
Well, that's just lazy, man. Come on now. I guess at least the nipples already have holes in them for the pin to go through, right?
Bleh. Okay.
Sorry, hold on. Autumn needs a moment. She just has to swallow this mouthful of vomit.
Fun fact, Ed Gein was the inspiration for film characters such as Leatherface and Buffalo Bill.
It puts the lotion... No, I'm not saying it.
Thank you, Precious. Trophy count. So, I'm just going to say body parts from here on because we have covered most of them now. So we got body parts, Polaroids, and shoes.
No. That's not okay. I want a full count every time or I'm out. We can read them together.
Heads.
Skulls.
Eyeballs.
Boobs.
Balls.
Lips.
Various other body parts and organs, some of which were for eating.
Nipples.
Polaroids.
Shoes.
And skin. Richard Cottingham, aka the Torso Killer, would take the heads and hands off of his victims' bodies. They were never recovered, and during his confessions, he never told anyone what he did with them.
Masturbation!
He was convicted of 8 murders, but could have killed over 11. Anatoly Onoprienko, aka the Terminator, was a Ukrainian serial killer who confessed to killing 52 victims during his career. Anatoly had the whole of Kiev terrified in the mid-90s.
Kind of like Putin today.
Yes. He would scope out a house that was isolated, murder the family that lived there, and then take their valuables. Whatever he didn't keep, he would sell. he would gift the jewelry to his girlfriend. We see this happen a lot with serial killers who take trophies. They will gift their victims clothing or jewelry to their friends and family, and they get off on seeing them wear the items. I have listened to a few podcasts about Anatoly and was curious to see what he looked like, so I did a YouTube search. The dude does not look sinister at all. He kind of looks like Ed Harris.
He has super bad tattoos and really poor taste?
That's not the Ed Harris that I'm talking about.
Who's that Ed?
I have no idea. I think you're thinking of Ed Hardy?
Oh, yeah, that dickhole. Okay, carry on.
So, trophy count. We have heads.
Skulls.
Eyeballs.
Boobs.
Balls.
Lips.
Various other body parts and organs, some of which for eating.
Nipples.
Polaroids.
Shoes.
Skin.
Hands.
And various valuables, jewelry, and belongings.
Yay!
Ronnie Alcala was a photographer who would lure his victims in using his Polaroid camera and take photographs of them, acting like he was going to put them in magazines. Then he would strangle the victim and continue to photograph them in different poses post-mortem. Fun fact, Ronnie appeared on the American television show The Dating Game as a contestant in 1978.
Did he win?
No, sir.
I guess everybody else did then.
Indeed. So, Robert Hansen, aka the Butcher Baker, killed at least 17 women in and around Anchorage, Alaska. He kept a piece of jewelry from each victim, and this, along with a flight map of the area that was marked in 37 places with an X, led to his downfall.
Oh, this is the dude that Nick Cage movie we watched recently was about, right? He would take them into the woods and then hunt them and rape them.
It was John Cusack, not Nick Cage.
It was both, actually. John Cusack was the murderer and Nick Cage was the detective.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the flight map, because the guy was a pilot and he would fly them out to the woods and do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So wait, why was he called the Butcher Baker?
Because he owned a bakery.
Oh, no shit. Huh. And he butchered. Yeah. That one's borderline clever, I suppose.
Yeah. Trophy count.
Okay, let's do this one as fast as we can. Maps.
Heads.
Skulls.
Eyeballs.
Boobs.
Balls.
Lips.
Various other body parts and organs, some which of which are eating.
Nibbles.
Polaroids.
Shoes.
Skin.
Hands.
Various valuables, jewelry, and belongings.
And penises. Wait, why are there no penises yet?
There were balls. Okay, so Leonard Lake and Charles Ng had a murder cabin in the woods. They would bring their victims to the cabin and videotape the rape, torture, and murder of each one. Along with the videotapes, police found a hand-drawn map in the cabin that led to multiple bodies buried in barrels.
It does make you wonder why people keep maps. Do you want to go and fool around with it a while later? Is it just to get the thrill of the memories by revisiting the sites?
Probably both, Daniel.
Giggity.
Trophy count.
Wait, we literally just did this. Or we're adding his videotapes.
Or maps. I don't know. We're not going to do a trophy count.
Not this time. Soon.
Okay. Charles T. Sinclair was a coin collector and became known as the Coin Shop Killer.
Not all of these are terribly imaginative, are they?
No, sir. He killed at least 11 people and mostly targeted coin shop owners.
Ah, for fuck's sake. Okay, fine.
He would kill them just to steal their shinies. Trophy count.
Okay, do it your way. Sheesh.
We have body parts, Polaroids, shoes, valuables, jewelry, maps, videotapes, and coin collections.
Has nobody seriously taken any dicks yet?
I feel like you want to take a dick.
Whoa, what are you saying? Take a dick how?
I don't know, you just really seem enthusiastic about dicks. Joseph James D'Angelo, aka the Golden State Killer, kept his ski mask that he wore when he robbed, raped, and murdered his victims in their homes. He also kept their jewelry. Among his favorite were heart-shaped lockets. There is an absolutely amazing documentary called I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It's in 7 parts and it's on HBO. If you have not seen it yet, please go watch it. It deserves everyone's attention. It's about a woman called Michelle McNamara, wife of comedian Patton Oswalt, and her search for the Golden State Killer.
Didn't he go under different monikers as well, until they realized it was all the same dude?
Yeah, I think so. I think he did have different monikers. I love that word, monikers.
So does Bill Clinton.
Trophy count. We have body parts, Polaroids, shoes, valuables, jewelry, maps, videotapes, coin collections, and ski masks.
Are your own ski masks really considered trophies, Autumn? That's like keeping the socks you wore, which would arguably be more useful, if you know what I'm saying. Ah, yeah.
That's actually a really good point.
I know, that's why I made it.
Anyways, Ivan Milat was an Australian serial killer. He would kill lone campers and take their camping gear. He did not take it to sell it. He just hoarded it all in his house, like a dragon with a hoard of jewels. Only he was a humanoid monster with a hoard of camping gear. Camping gear, the trophy of a real rugged man.
Like the B.F. Goodrich.
So, that must be the dude the movie Wolf Creek was based on, right?
Have I seen Wolf Creek?
Yeah, you did. You didn't like it.
Did I fall asleep?
You didn't fall asleep, no. You just thought it was all a bit far-fetched, like with the running away at the end and stuff. But, I mean, it's somewhat loosely based on that guy. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember it now. It was boring.
It was pretty brutal at times.
And it could have totally been based off of Ivan Milat, you're right.
I mean, it was. I asked the question, but it's a fact. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I did research and I was just testing you for the fuck of it.
Oh, okay. Good job. Trophy count. We have body parts, Polaroids, shoes, valuables, jewelry, maps, videotapes, coin collections, ski masks, maybe not, and camping gear.
You thought stiletto heels were bad. Try a rusty tent pole.
No, I will not, as a matter of fact, try a rusty tent pole.
In the piss hole.
No. Okay, so David Parker Ray, aka the Toy Box Killer. If you go to FBI.gov, you can see a complete list of the items David kept from his victims, along with photographs of each item. There are 401 items. Among them are gold and silver necklaces and bracelet charms, rings, earrings and pins, watches and keychains. There is one pin that says, I heart boys, rosaries, underwear and bras.
Finally, some underwear. Gad!
Women's clothing and scarves, shoes, wallets, purses, a leather bracelet with the name Linda engraved on it, glasses and sunglasses, a stone smoking pipe. David Parker Ray raped, killed, and tortured many women during his career. It seems that when he captured his victims, he would just strip them down and keep everything that was on their person at the time. Why did he do this? Why did he not sell any of the jewelry? Who knows? The dude was seriously fucked up.
And born into wealth, obviously. Didn't need to sell any of the jewellery for crack. Not that it sounds like he had any shortage on crack.
Do we still need to do a trophy count after that? It seems like anything is game when it comes to taking trophies.
We can sing them all later. Stay tuned for a murdery sing-along, folks.
Yay! John Haig, aka the Acid Bath Killer. This guy murdered his victims and got rid of their bodies via acid bath. One couple he killed, he stole their valuables and sold them, but he kept their dog. Can an animal be a trophy? I guess so. Every day you feed the dog and clean up its poop, and it's a constant reminder of your crime.
If you didn't at least feed it some parts of its owners, I'd be very surprised.
You know, there's really no mention of that, but it might have happened? Alexander Pichushkin shit.
Why did you write Petrushkin phonetically in brackets in the script? It literally says Petrushkin both ways.
I don't know, I thought it would help.
You still fucked it up.
Alexander Petrushkin had a logbook. This book contained 64 squares, like a chessboard. Each square represented someone that he killed. He said that once he reached 64 squares, that he would just keep killing until he was stopped. He was caught when he had filled in his 60th square.
Did he upgrade to a checkers board?
He never had the chance.
How did he fill in the 60th square then?
It was in a book. He just kind of scribbled in the little squares. Anyways, Richard Ramirez would break into people's homes and rape them. Sometimes he would even succeed in murdering them. He would always steal his victims' valuables, and this was usually to support his cocaine habit. But on one occasion, he cut out a woman's eyes and stuffed them inside of a jewelry box. Nobody knows what he did with the eyes or the box.
At least he didn't put her eyes in her box like Kegels.
That is vile. You're a vile human being.
Why do you keep saying that?
I just like the word vile. Oh my god. In 1983, And here we have one last story. Eddie Leonsky was trying to collect a trophy that is not something that is collectible, women's voices. Eddie served in the U.S. Army in World War II, and during this time he strangled 3 women. He attempted to murder several more. He said that he was jealous of women's singing voices and wanted one for himself.
I love you, Autumn. I love you beyond measure. But isn't it sad to think that all Eddie needed, all poor old Eddie needed to be cured was to hear you sing?
I'm a fantastic karaoke singer.
Yes.
So that's it. Monsters are weird. If you love killing so much that you feel the need to take a trophy home with you, well, that's just fucked up, man.
So, I have to say, I'm pretty disappointed that you made no effort to find any female killers for this list, Autumn.
There are none that I could find. I researched like 100 people, and they were all men that took the trophies.
Winner! Guys are cool.
A lot of you dear listeners could not even fathom taking another life. But imagine taking many lives, and with each life you take, you bring a piece of them home with you. Like you're a careful, organized killer, and you are meticulous, and you don't leave any evidence behind, and yet you take such a huge risk and bring into your home a severed finger, or an ear, or an eyeball, and you keep it in a special place in your home that is just for you, and sometimes, in between kills, you open up that box and you take out your severed fingers and you line them up on the floor in front of you and just look at them in awe with love and wonder, and with each one sparks the memory of the life that drained out of a human being that you slaughtered.
On the other hand, the law of averages would suggest that some of you dear listeners are in fact killers, and if you ever get caught, we'd sure like to have you guest star right here on Seven Circles.
Anyways, we could play a game to kind of lighten things up before we leave.
Lighten things up? What do you mean?
Yeah, this episode was pretty hardcore, so I was just thinking we could just kind of switch it up a little bit and make things a little bit more lighthearted.
I thought it was fine.
That's because you're a vile human being.
Still,
forever. So I said that Anatoly Onopinko resembles Ed Harris. We could go through all the killers we just named in this episode and take turns saying which actor they look like. I'll go first. Ted Bundy looks like Michael Cera.
He does? I thought Zac Efron was cast pretty well in the Netflix movie. Anyway, Jerome Brudos looks like Fat Buddy Holly.
Charles Albright looks like Ted Danson.
Jeffrey Dahmer looks like Stephen Hawking. Sorry, dead genius.
He does! Ed Gein looks like J.K. Simmons. He's one of those actors that's in everything and you notice him, but he's not noteworthy, so you never remember his real name.
Bum ba dum bum 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 bum.
He's in the insurance commercial?
Yeah, that dude. And some movie about a drummer? I don't know. Anyway, Richard Cottingham looks like Santa.
Like Santa Claus?
Yeah. At least he does now, anyway.
Rodney Alcala looks like Bill Nighy.
Robert Hansen looks like not Fat Buddy Holly, but more like those wankers the Proclaimers. And I would walk 500 miles to hunt you down and rape your corpse.
Leonard Lake looks like Jason Alexander or George Costanza.
Charles T. Sinclair looks like old sad Luke Perry. Wait, maybe just regular Luke Perry. I haven't seen him in a while.
I think he's dead.
What? Yeah, really?
I think so.
Oh, wait. Yeah, he did. Yeah, did he?
Yeah, he kicked it.
Oh, man.
Joseph James D'Angelo looks like the guy who played Jigsaw in the Saw movies.
Not the puppet, right? That'd be weird.
No, not the puppet.
Ivan Milat looks like an Australian. Sorry, he just looks straight up like the most Australian dude you ever saw. You just know he piled his victims and their camping gear in the back of his ute.
David Parker Ray looks like Sam Elliott.
Who the fuck is Sam Elliott? I wish I knew who any of these people you're mentioning are.
Sam Elliott is the guy, he like always plays a cowboy and everything.
Yeehaw! John Hague looks like, let's just say it, he's got major Hitler vibes.
Mm-hmm. Alexander Petushkin looks like Rupert Grint, or Ron Weasley.
Richard Ramirez looks like a scary ass motherfucker, frankly. He's the only one on this list I wouldn't want to deal with. Other than that, he looks like a drowned chihuahua who OD'd and fell into a river.
And Eddie Leonsky just looked like nobody, really. Like, he could be typecast as a high school bully. Anyway, that's the end.
Of the episode. Not your life. But remember, you could meet a killer at any time. So live every day like it's your last. And remember to wear nice underwear for your killer to bring home and jack off with. Also, how did we get to the end of this and literally nobody stole a dick, man?
You with the dick? I'm telling you, you want a dick so bad. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, come support us on Patreon at Seven Circles Pod. Your donations and support can help us elevate the quality of our podcast, and it would mean so much to us.
This episode of Seven Circles was written by Autumn Vale and Dan Griffiths. Seven Circles is produced by Autumn Vale with sound editing by Dan Griffiths.
Original music by Null Machine and art by Caroline Gates.
Find us on social media, Facebook at Seven Circles Podcast, Insta at @7_circles_pod, and Twitter at @7circlespod. Heads and eyeballs and lips and nipples, shoes and bras and titties for in them, scars and balls and organs for eating. These are a few of my favorite things.
When the dog barks.
After you fed it some of your victims.
Anyways, bye.
Bye.